So, as lots of you know, like last term, we picked up the People of God series, which is it's what kind of the whole of River Church has been doing together over the last bit of time. We kind of joined it in a little bit later, but we got there in the end. And it's basically, the idea is that we pick up stories along the way. We pick up the little stories along the way, some of them quite challenging and a bit odd and hard, and we just kind of take a look at the characters and the people in those situations and those times, and how we look at how they are and how they were and what they were like, and how they saw God. And I think for me, like, this follows on really well from what Colin was sharing with us about over the weekend, about that big story, that big arc of what God is doing through creation, what God is doing in this world and among us, that story of God coming close to us, just doing everything God can to sort of earn our trust and say and show us that he's good and he wants to dwell among us. That's the whole thing, really, in a nutshell, that God wants to come and dwell among us and be among us and birth new creation in us and around us and through the whole of creation. God wants for everything to be redeemed. And we've got the Bible to help us perhaps see some of that picture, to uncover some of that story, but it's pretty challenging in places. I don't know about you, if any of you have ever read any of the Bible, I imagine you've been challenged by it in some way. I think most people are nodding there. That's probably, I'm pleased, because if you haven't found it challenging, I'd worry for you. But I have. The story I picked up this week is of Jabez, that well-known guy. Yeah.
No.
There are a total of two verses about Jabez in the Bible. So they're going to be, it'll be over very quickly. I'm going to be riffing off of off of those verses, perhaps like pinging off in a couple of other places as well. So those two verses, they come in the wonderful book of Chronicles, and they come from the bit of Chronicles where it's talking about, and so and so is the son of thingy and the son of whoever and Perez and all of that jazz. First Chronicles 4. One of those passages that you like, you could just read, and I'd understand if you skip through it. But in the midst of that, there are some verses about this guy called Jabez, and they go like this: Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. In the notes that came my way and some of the stuff in there, it said, most of you will know the name Jabez. I'm not sure that's true, because Rachel's on it, she knows it. And I think it's because of a thing called the Jabez Prayer, which is like the second part of that. I think there's a famous book written about it, apparently, in the year 2000, which is a little bit controversial in some ways. But this book written about this prayer was talking about taking hold of this prayer, holding on to it and speaking it over your life. Now, I think it's a good thing to grab hold of promises, and to speak them over our lives. But I also think that when we sort of pick verses like this out of scripture, like we need to be careful what we're doing with it also. Because it'd be very easy, and I think this has been some of the criticism of that prayer, it'd be very easy to say, oh God, bless and enlarge my border, make me wealthy, and sort of make it so that more riches come my way and more property comes into my hands and that my business expands and all of those things. But I don't think that's the point of this little passage. I don't think that's the point of the prayer. And I think it'd be very easy to read it in light of kind of our culture and like Western materialism, but I don't think that's what's going on here. I think the crux of this is about the boldness and clarity of the prayer. This is a man who is considered honourable by his peers, by the short account that we have, and it's a man who prayed a bold prayer. And it says, God granted him what he requested. And in Jesus' own words, in Matthew and Luke, he talks about those who are like, knock and ask and keep on asking and you'll receive. Saying, yeah, God loves to give us good gifts. And I think there's something about knocking and asking over and over again. in petition and repetition, it's just saying, I think it's a perfectly valid prayer to say, God, bless me, just to say that every day. I think that is a good prayer to pray, and I believe in my heart that God wants really good stuff for us. I also believe we live in a messy, broken world, but that God is a God of good gifts. And in James, in the book of James, it says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Wow. Have we asked God for stuff? I don't know. Has anyone been asking God for stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It also says in the following passage that even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. There's kind of a caveat on there as well. But I think that's true. And I was talking with Karen about this on the way away here, that I think there are lots of different ways of looking at God and understanding God, in the same way that, like, most of us know Luke, but we know Luke in different ways. Like, my relationship with Luke is not like Diana's relationship with Luke. I probably perceive Luke quite differently to the way that Diana does. So I think it's like there are lots of ways that we can approach prayer and understand it. And I wouldn't want to say that, I'd sort of say, let's talk about prayer and approach it in different ways. And talk about God and the ways that we've experienced and the ways we've understood God. But for me, like, it's a really core part of my journey towards knowing God, to truly, this was a bigger hurdle than I realised, was to truly, truly understand and know that God is good. It just sounds like a small thing, right? But it's a big deal. Knowing that God is good is a big deal. And knowing that God wants good things for me is a big deal. I also want to, that there's a, Jabez is coming, he's come from the tribe of Judah, which is descended from Abraham, and so Jabez in his life is, he's in that line of inheritance of Abraham, which is about blessing. He lives in the line of blessing. So yeah. The first thing we're told about Jabez is that he was more honourable than his siblings. That seems like a little bit, to my mind, that jars a little bit. It's like, Lindsay, that just seems like a little bit of favouritism, whatever else. But actually, like, him being perceived as being honourable is about, the way he's perceived. And the word, actually, the Hebrew word there is kabad, which can mean weighty. And I don't know if any of you remember a little while back, I shared a little bit on glory, and it's a related word, and it means things of substance. It means that there's substance going on there. In the ancient world, in the ancient Near Eastern world, things that are heavier carry more value. So a gold piece of gold is worth more than a feather. Like that, because of its weight. And you look at the descriptions of God's glory falling. It talks about the Shekinah glory, which is the substance, the thick, heavy presence and glory of God. So when it talks about Jabez being honourable, it's talking about substance in his life. So he probably wasn't someone who lived like frivolously or flippantly. Someone who was probably, in the old way of describing things, he was probably a righteous man. And I just wanted to like point towards the weekend again at this point. I shared on relationships and depth of relationships, and also on going deeper with God. I think that those are things of substance. Those are things that are weighty. I hope you don't mind. I thought I might make a little segue here. So, Aaron, were you prepped to share a little bit on relationships? I know that one of the small groups has been like sharing on relationships, and I thought it might be a nice little segue for Aaron to share.
Really?
If he's happy to.
Yeah, I'd love to.
It doesn't have to be very long.
I was told about you.
Hello. This has been very proud. A few years ago, at my church that I went to back home, we did a small series on relationships. And I guess that kind of fundamentally changed how I viewed the people around me and, how I saw myself looking to other people. So we started doing it as a small group here. And I think it's fair to say that it's kind of challenged us a little bit. I think it's also fair to say that our relationships have kind of gone a little bit deeper since that point. Certainly our discussions at small group have. I don't know really what you want me to say, but do you want to provoke me with any questions or anything like that?
Yeah, I suppose what does going deeper into a relationship mean for you?
Yeah, I think that there's kind of at least in my head, there's a certain level of kind of surface contact or understanding you can have with someone. It can be almost kind of transactional or just based off like your environment or the things you do with someone. So you know, me and John go to the gym and we can kind of make grunting noises or talk about how much weight we're lifting it could be very, very surface level. And I think it's very easy to just kind of stay at that surface level and just kind of avoid talking about anything of meaning. I wouldn't get to know Joel much better. He wouldn't get to know me much better. But I think taking the time to actually ask people how they're feeling and how they're thinking and what matters to them is probably what I call considered depth. I think there's levels to depth as well, right? It's not like you either know someone deeply or you don't. I think there's a certain element of time that's required there. But I think it starts by wanting to connect with someone and wanting to understand what's going on with them.
Yeah, please do. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. Hey, come on if you like. It'll get out on the recording then.
I was just going to say, the main thing I think that is kind of the crux of his book, and he kind of bases everything else on it, is the difference between a powerful and a powerless person. And a powerful person is responsible for themselves and how they react to the other person. And it's kind of the fact that you can't change how someone else acts. You can only change how you act and how you react to them. And in turn, that might change how they act. And talking about interactions of powerful people and how you're dependent on someone, but you're not codependent on them. And as soon as you're responsible for yourself, then you kind of have a different perspective on your relationships and how you kind of come at them, as well as kind of if you're upset at someone, it's because you chose to be upset. And if someone's done something to you, you have a right to be upset. But at the end of the day, if they're having an impact on your life, and you can choose to kind of distance from that. And it's kind of, there's more on that, but it's the kind of the key difference between being a powerful and powerless person and choosing to be a powerful person.
That's awesome. Thank you, Emily. Yeah, and yeah, thank you guys for both sharing. And I think there's something about, I think we understand something of like the depth of relationships when we explore these kind of things, and we build friendships and we grow friendships and we go deeper in them. We don't just skip along the surface. We ask after each other's hearts, and we encourage one another. We pray for each other, like we were this morning. Like it's a heart to heart thing. There's a depth there, and this is the context for. I mean, in this very short passage, I realise I may be grasping here, but I fundamentally think it is true for us. I think there is truth in this passage here. And Jabez's prayer, it comes from a depth, a depth of relationship with God, I reckon. this is a man who invests of himself, and dares to go deeper with God. Yeah. There's something else I wanted to draw from this passage, and it talks about in this short passage. It talks about the origins of his name. It seems like his mother had a very difficult time giving birth to him. And that his name actually means, it literally means pain or sorrow. And I think if we kind of imagine ourselves in that story, it'd be really, like it's possible to feel sympathy and maybe even empathy for his mother. For like feeling that, we don't know what's happened, there's no detail here, but there's something that's clearly of sorrow here. But it's almost also been like a burdensome thing for Jabez to carry in his life, like being called pain and sorrow. That's a name that would have been hard to carry, I imagine. So when Jabez prays, "Keep me from all trouble and pain," he's declaring his trust that with God's help, he doesn't need to live as a victim of his past. He doesn't need to live as a person who's defined by pain and sorrow and the hard things of the past. But he does ask for blessing. And there's a way in which we could read the second half of that prayer as a plea that the same blessing wouldn't lead him into paths of evil and paths of that pain and suffering. He's an honourable man and he wants to use this blessing honourably. And again, as I mentioned earlier, maybe we can read this in the context of his history, of his tribal history, whereas Abraham promised, I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All of the families on earth will be blessed through you. So he's come from a line of people who are placed, who've been taught generationally that they are to be people who bless others. They're blessed, but they also exist to bless the whole of creation, the whole of the world. And in that sense, we also step into those promises. The promises spoken to a different person at a different time in a different context, but by faith we also receive those. We are people of blessing who are to bless those around us. And I think the story, it reinforces God's heart to bless, to give good gifts to his children. As you were saying, Luke, like, when we understand that we're children, we get to step into the inheritance. But then also, as Colin was sharing, as we immerse ourselves, as we go deeper into that relationship with God, as we go deeper into our relationships with one another, we get to know the mind of God. We get to converse with God. We get to, as Karen did, we get to shout out and be angry with God and say, why isn't this... Why isn't this how it should be? Or why is this thing so hard? That's the friendship. You get to do that as friends. You get to be angry with God and to go deeper and say, I need your heart, Father. And what are you doing here? Like, how are you moving? And how can I help? And please, help me with this thing. I'm struggling. It's really hard. So this, for me, the story is, that kind of, the key word in there for me is weighty. It's about substance, and it's about asking for blessing and praying bold prayers. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So I'm going to read this through, this passage through one more time. And then I'd like, actually, would someone help me pass out some paper and pens? That's all right. Oh, thank you. I want for us... We've kind of done, in the Pete Gregg style, we've done some of the, pause. Maybe we paused as we came in. We've done some rejoicing in worship, and we've turned our attention to God. Maybe let's do some asking and yielding.
Is one in, a group, or, one each?
One each. Maybe tear them in half, if you're right. Or, don't bother. Just one, the whole one. Let's be generous. God is generous. Let's have a whole piece of paper each. but it'd be good.
We don't have enough paper.
There is always more paper, but for now. Sorry, I've dug myself into a hole here. We'll receive a piece of paper. And I think once I pass these around, I'd love for us to write a bold prayer, if that's okay. Maybe a prayer for the week, maybe a prayer for the year, actually, whatever you feel like led to, but something that seems a little bit beyond what you might expect, reasonably expect. I'd love for us to pray a bold prayer, and then maybe fold it up and take it with you, put it in your pocket, carry it with you, stick it somewhere. So yeah, this passage, it says, Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, Because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested.